We're Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
We speak with Adam Obernauer, Director of Retail Organizing of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, in the wake of the terrible loss of life of 6 workers in a non-union and thus particularly dangerous poultry processing plant in Georgia.
And then from the most dangerous, disastrous conditions of non-union workers, we'll look at the most promising development of the first successful union drive in the world of the giant octopus squid of capital, Amazon's workers. Adam Obernauer, it's good to have you with us. 6 poultry workers were killed and dozens injured in a non-union, and I emphasize non-union, Georgia plant due to a chemical leak. This plant had been known to have health and safety violations, had been known to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration on a federal level. What can you tell us about this terrifying industrial accident and whether or not you can look at it as an accident, since clearly there were health and safety violations at the Georgia plant?
It's sad, pressing, but predictable. We've seen in industry like poultry how the employers treat workers in non-union poultry plants. They don't take health and safety as seriously as they should. It's obvious based on the tragedy of 6 workers not being able to go home to their families because of a lack of concern for their own safety. Their treatment as a whole in the industry around COVID-19, the lack of forcing social distancing on some of the lines. We've seen it and had to enforce it in our union plants. To see this happen while you have open safety violations, not only here, but throughout the industry, it is something that needs to be addressed. And it's something that our union has spoken very vocally about, addressing the safety precautions in the poultry industry since COVID-19. This idea that this is a one-off or that this is something that we can't predict in the future is not true. And so I think we need to really talk about this and consider, how do we actually solve this issue? I know the answer in my eyes is to unionize, but at the very least, these employers should be following standard health and safety guidelines.
We've been covering for decades terrifying accidents and health and safety violations in poultry plants throughout the South. One of them when workers were locked in Hamlet and burned to death. Those were largely non-union plants. What are unions able to do to address what is an otherwise extremely dangerous industry and where workers' health and safety from a myriad number of production processes and conditions are on the line?
The ability for what the union can do is expansive. In many of our poultry plants, we have a health and safety committee. The members themselves compose the health and safety committee, a committee that also proposes things on how it could be a safer working environment. On a rolling basis, health and safety committee is something that's in the union contract for, opens the doors for the employer to actually have to sit at the table to discuss safety with the union. The other broader thing that you see is the disproportionate treatment of people of color, black workers and immigrant workers, this overwhelming lack of care in the overall industry. And so even in the union plants, we have to push back. When COVID-19 hit, there was quite a lot of pushback that we did as a union to demand that the employer adhere to the new standards that were being recommended by CDC, like in social distancing, personal protective equipment. Without that counterbalance and that contractual language that is able to push the employer to have to legally sit down to discuss safety, you're really just hard-pressed to say, well, maybe the employer will care. I don't think, based on the past, right, you're talking about the early 90s, that plant in Hamlet, and then you're talking about today, a similar situation. So it's not only that it's not being addressed, it's also that it hasn't been addressed in decades. The only counterbalance that has power is union.
I'm just interested in whether or not the RWDSU, which represents 15,000 poultry workers at facilities across the southern states, has had any connection previously with the Gainesville, Georgia plant where this tragedy happened, and whether you have any specific information that you can impart to us about the nature of this accident.
Unfortunately, we never have had anything worth reporting on traction on organizing in this plant. What you do see, though, is in the industry as a whole, we have had many workers reach out to us over this pandemic on what they can do about safety in their poultry plants. Is systemic. It's very standard that the employers are not respecting the safety guidelines. COVID-19 it's sadly not surprising based on what we've heard from workers across the industry in the South.
It's a non-union plant. There had been on record complaints made to OSHA, but little to nothing seems to have been done. Is there a bigger role and needs there to be a bigger push, particularly in the period of COVID, from unions in getting federal OSHA to be more responsive to the complaints that come in about these highly dangerous plants where workers, both unionized and non-unionized, work?
Unions absolutely need to be pushing OSHA and also pushing the government to fund OSHA more. One thing that you certainly saw with prior administration was not a respect for putting more money into safety and into OSHA. What we need is a much more robust plan where there's more enforcement, and that only comes with more staffing and the ability to enforce certain guidelines around safety. The fact that it doesn't happen is part of why the union, we're constantly pushing for better safety standards. But a lot of these employers know the low bar, and the low bar is the non-union plants. So if there was a more robust OSHA safety protocol that was more enforceable and more aggressive, and it would also help uplift the unionized facilities and plants because they have their low bar, and we're constantly pushing back against that to raise the table.
Does this stimulate the union to go in now, swoop down, and be even more aggressive about efforts to unionize? Is the issue that the unions don't have enough staff, or that the objective forces would not make people automatically inclined from the RWDSU to swoop down on a Gainesville plant and say this is a strategic time and imperative for its organization?
When you look at organizing and how to, you mentioned, swoop in, workers at some of the poultry plants already exhibit a certain level of fear. When you look at a safety issue like this, it's definitely true that it would be a good time to reach out to workers and having those conversations. But it's always a careful balance between the employer not knowing right away that there is organizing taking place and building an infrastructure that can fight back at such a large facility. A lot of these facilities are very large and turnover is extremely high. So in order to gain enough traction to then launch a strong union campaign, we would need to get there with the workers. It certainly is something that unions should do and consider. But at the same time, if it's highlighted that that's a plan ahead of time, or if management were to find out that a union is looking to unionize, they would start their union busting before the infrastructure of the organized workforce would have the ability to educate themselves first about the union and about the process that would actually fight back against the union busting. These employers are not the type of employers that are going to go light on union busting. Unionize is the answer, but I also think that workers organically are pushing back in their own ways. Unless there's a long-term infrastructure with the turnover in these poultry plants, I'd be hard-pressed to think that a couple issue-based demand would be long-lasting because of the turnover.
Terribly hard nut to crack with the issues of labor laws in terms of unionization, and right-to-work states. But there is a significant campaign going on in Alabama dealing with a very hard nut to crack, an Amazon fulfillment center and a unionization campaign. And Ken, I know you wanted to take us into that topic.
Definitely. Major drive in the Bessemer plant in Alabama, near Birmingham. Can you give us an outline of the workforce there, what's been happening? And I know that Amazon has had a very spotty record with regard to health and safety violations, especially COVID, in the past, and they say they've reformed. But is that still an issue?
It is still an issue. An overview of Amazon in Bessemer is there's a lot of working conditions that workers want to see improve. COVID is a major driving force. You have workers that are absolutely essential. If you see how people are getting their goods these days during the pandemic, a lot of it is through Amazon and other mail services. Workers know that they are essential. They're going to work every day during a pandemic. There's a feeling of not only who has COVID, what's the precautions here, how do I know how to be safe at work, which is not something that is necessarily highlighted for them at this facility, But on top of that, they're essential workers and feel that they should be paid maybe more for going to work during this pandemic. What you've seen in this country is the realization that what we tend to sometimes hear people call unskilled labor. It's not very unskilled when you need it to function and survive as a society. So I don't like that term because I think that all labor is valued, especially labor like the workers at Amazon who are providing service that many, many people in this country are utilizing more now than they ever have during the pandemic. COVID-19 is certainly an issue, despite Amazon's claims of the facility being safer than the surrounding area of Bessemer and Birmingham, which is what they tried to do to push back on the mail-in ballot to argue that the facility was safe for a in-person mailing. That's very untrue. There's no real way where you can have thousands of workers vote in a facility in a safer way than a mail-in ballot. COVID is a major issue. There are many other issues. Amazon is a place where workers are constantly monitored. Your manager might be a digital person on an app that you get assigned a manager to that you've never met. It is a place where if you are pregnant and you're going to the bathroom too much, it works against your time, your rate, which is what they call it, to make sure that you make rate and you're able to get through as much product as possible in as quick amount of time as possible. There are many, many issues. Hyper monitoring of workers is something that is a major frustration with the workforce.
If you can give us more of a picture of who the workers are in the Bessemer plant in Alabama and the actual array of conditions that Amazon workers have been facing and that Bessemer plant is typical to the ones that we've seen in Staten Island and Glen and many other places. That was certainly before the advent of COVID.
The Bessemer facility in Alabama is unique. There's many people say that it's a very unlikely place for unionization organizing. When you look at the history of Birmingham and you look at the history of the Bessemer and Birmingham area in Alabama, there's a lot of history in civil rights struggle. There's a lot of labor history in general, some of which has many ties to the radical organizing roots in Alabama. In this facility, it's a majority black workforce. There are a lot of younger workers as well, very young workforce. It's about 15 to 20 minutes east of Birmingham. Most of the workers live in Birmingham that work in the plant. You have a beacon of progressivism that lives in this facility. You also have long ties of family members and history of the workers that work there that have ties to civil rights struggles and have ties to old labor struggles as well. There are a lot of family members there that might support the union. And if you're a younger person in the facility, you may ask your uncle, what should I do, you know, in this situation? I've never really heard of a union before. And your uncle may say, you better support the union. That matters.
And how is Amazon fighting back this unionization drive? I know they put forth an anti-union website. They're contesting the way vote is to be done in the election in terms of a mail ballot. They don't want a mail ballot. What exactly is Amazon doing to fight the union?
If I had to say that there are different anti-union packages that employers buy. I've seen the sloppy one in my day of organizing, which is basically your boilerplate language that sometimes the employer doesn't change at all. And then you have your more robust union busting packages. Some employers would purchase, which either has on the ground union busters or in addition to the materials and creation of campaign materials to vote no against the unions, you're looking at the most expensive package. They're doing everything that they can. They're doing captive meetings. The doitwithoutdues.com website, because seeing a lot on dues and on payments, there's talk of why spend $500 for a union when you could spend $500 on gifts for your family. There's also all of the talk that you see in every anti-union campaign. They're talking strikes, dues, initiation fees, everything that you typically see. So it's not anything unique, but it's heavy. Text messages almost every day saying a piece of misinformation. Your dues money is going to this or that, many of which not true at all. They're using the hit them pretty hard as frequently as possible. We always expect when we do an organizing campaign for there to be a significant anti-union campaign. We want to build an infrastructure that is strong or decent enough in worker committees that can fight back against this anti-union animus. So we need to train workers to what we call inoculation and say basically that we give you a little bit of what you should expect, but to always expect the thing you didn't think of hearing, because they're going to try something new the hammering on dues is interesting. It is right to work. So workers actually are never obligated legally to pay dues in Alabama. And so what we're trying to also let workers know is that they actually don't have to legally pay dues in Alabama, but you'll want to. You'll want to pay dues to strengthen the union. That's not to say that we support or think right-to-work laws are good in any form. We do not. But at the same time, highlighting an anti-union campaign that focuses, its strongest focus has been dues, is very disingenuous in Alabama.
They've hired Pinkertons, the company of old, known for brutalization, whether it's done in a more sophisticated way these days of workers as a security force. They've hired people like Harry Johnson, a former Republican member of the National Labor Review Board, who helped craft and interpret federal and anti-union labor law. He is now working with Johnson, works with Morgan Lewis, which is one of the most prominent pro-management law firms in the country. How important is that, and what are the kind of resources that are needed to fight that juggernaut of anti-union activity Amazon is pouring into this most important, perhaps one of, if not the most important, union drive in the country of these Amazon workers in Alabama?
It's unlimited resources, right? And so in fighting back, the way in which employers are able to take advantage of and really unfairly treat workers during union campaigns is very, in my opinion, embarrassing. But the laws aren't strong enough to prevent them from doing things that are very effective and disingenuous. To that point, you are talking about, you know, Harry Johnson, and you're talking about people that are very skilled in how to delay the campaign election from happening. They tried at the board to try to push back this as much as possible because the turnover is high. So the longer they can delay things for the vote taking place, the more chance that they have to run a longer union busting campaign, and the more they have a chance of actually convincing workers that the union is bad. As far as pushing back, we do have community support. Community has been phenomenal in Birmingham and in Bessemer. When you see that your community and your family supports the idea of a union, and your extended families and your neighborhood support the idea of unionizing, it matters. In a lot of large union elections, if you don't have the community's support and backing, you're in a much worse position. The workers also in this facility are very much not swayed in many ways by some of the union busting tactics in a way that is unique.
Certainly these are not typically progressive areas, and we understand the overall politics, reactionary politicians, that is Alabama. So why do you think there's kind of a community shift and a receptivity to the workers that we might not have previously seen in Alabama?
See a lot of pushback and resistance because of a lot of the racial justice struggle and the Black Lives Matter movement as well that has taken a definite and very positive role in the movements of our time. What you do definitely see in a majority Black workforce like the Alabama facility in Bessemer, we have workers, members of the RWDSU doing the organizing work, trained members to do the work. They're excited about it. They're dues-paying members of the union, many of which are shop stewards. They're of the same community of the people that they're organizing from the same area in the South. So while this is obviously a campaign that now we have our teams pitching in from the RWDSU from all over the country, we also have a very organic and Southern campaign in Alabama that's being run. And there's a lot of solidarity amongst the members of our union that are doing the organizing and conversations at the gates of the facility built around Black Lives Matter, that is racial justice. There's been moments where a white manager come out and say a racist thing towards one of the members of the union. You see Amazon workers that they visualize that. There is an air of solidarity amongst also the organized. The organizers are members of the union. And there are obviously union staff down there that are helping run the campaign as well, but there are a lot of members. This is a big civil rights campaign in the same way as where racial justice is economic justice. You definitely see that playing out both amongst the members who are doing the organizing, who can absolutely relate to the workers at Amazon. They're proud to pay their dues. And that's one of the things that some of the best conversations that they're having. They could talk about where they work and why the union's good for them. And I think that that matters. So it's Black Lives Matter. It's everything that has people fed up in this country around not only economics and continually feeling like can't even get checks of relief from the government. We had the Trump administration and the rise of the right. When you see all this, it's very much in the background of the campaign because you can't separate it from the political world and climate that we're in.
And the tactic of Amazon basically to instill fear in the minds of the workers that they'll lose their job in the process of organizing, that they'll be fired, with the website they put up, with their captive audience meetings that the workers must attend. Are the workers afraid? Is this working?
Workers are always afraid during organizing. It's not all workers, right? You always have your workers that are not afraid, that are excited, that want to go out and be as vocal as possible. But always a decent majority of workers are somewhat fearful. And whether they break through that fear is dependent on them. But when you have constant meetings and you're constantly berated about anti-union talking points and you're constantly told that the union's bad, that it's going to take your money, the plant, you know, who knows if it exists if a union comes in, and you're constantly told things like this every day, and it's mandatory. You're going through all of this. It comes to a certain point where you have both fear and then the desire to just disengage at a certain point. You know, I'm just tired of hearing about union this, the union that, the union this. The goal for Amazon and many anti-union employers is to get workers to feel, but before the union, quote unquote, came in, I didn't have to do these meetings. I didn't have to listen to any of this, to see all this propaganda. I just kind of wanted it to all go away. Typically in a situation like that, that worker might vote against the union because they say, well, it's the union kind of that this is happening. If the union never came in, then we wouldn't have to deal with these meetings and with my employer texting me every day about things I don't care about. Or it could be even about things that I care about. I think the union might be good, but I just want my employer to stop harassing me. So workers are absolutely scared. I don't think that this facility as a whole is a scared facility. Right, the frightened to unionize. Clearly, thousands of workers signed cards and were engaged in this campaign, that there's always going to be fear. But I also think that we are where we are because there hasn't been as much fear as we're used to in large facilities like this.
I'm interested in whether or not you think that there's a lesson for unions here, which is really tying the economic issues with the issue of racial justice, understanding the imperative for workers' rights. They are human rights, and human rights with economic rights are a whole court press for a whole human being to be able to reap the benefit of the work and the necessity for them to do so to live a better life. Is there an approach that the unions have, something that we may not previously have seen, that in many ways helped flip the balance of power in a state like Georgia? Even though we were talking about Georgia moments ago in terms of the poultry plant, but certainly in the electoral process, Georgia did flip the balance of power from absolute abhorrent right reaction to a social democratic perspective. In a political context, is this strategic for unions to look more holistically at the workforce and take up in a broad way their issues as opposed to maybe what were traditionally kind of economist or strictly bread and butter issues?
I mean, I think that you've the nail on the head of where I personally think the labor movement should be going, but I also think that our union has embraced as well. And when you look at the growth of labor unions historically, unions grow when they are not their own separate movement, but they're part of the social movements that are taking place. So if we want to see a real upswing in workers wanting to join unions and become unions, because when you say joining unions, you're thinking of this third party. And I think that the way that we approach organizing is you're building your union. And in order to build your union, the things that matter to you are part of that process, whether it's the immigrant rights movement, which I think the union or the labor movement was late on, but now has fully embraced. When you look at Black Lives Matter, need to be fully embracing the civil rights struggle of our time, right? And the racial justice struggle of our time. And many people have said things like racial justice is economic justice. And that's true. They're intertwined. And when we talk about intersectionality, you're definitely talking about the intersectionality of class, race, gender, and all of the above. If we want to grow in the what we see as this awakening of a lot of people's political consciousness around class and around race, the unions need to embrace it fully. And I think that that's part of how you're mentioning the whole worker, right? The whole human being. You can't separate those issues, because as workers were organizing in Bessemer, Alabama, as members of this union are organizing out there, they're still facing the fact that they are organizing their coworkers as black folks in Alabama. And they're facing that as well as the workers in the plant and in Amazon. And so you can't separate someone's identity from that. And so I think that as we look towards the union favorability rating of this country being the highest it's been in a long time, it is impossible to separate that from the fact that Black Lives Matter is a big movement right now, from the fact that there's been incredible pushback to the Trumpism or to the rise of the right. I don't think that you can separate those. People are more favorable to unions if unions are going to be part of the movement. We need to realize that these movements overlap one another. That's part of how we are running things in Alabama and part of how we're running things at the RWDSU. We may see a shift in the labor movement if the labor movement wants to grow like it did in its most successful time.
When you successfully have an election at the Bessemer plant that calls for a union, what will an affirmative vote mean for organized labor in this country, particularly against a major worldwide employer like Amazon? How important is this? What can it do to stimulate the organized labor movement?
There's so many possibilities of what this could do. There's a lot of feeling amongst all Amazon workers around the country, including the workers in Staten Island that I was part of talking to. There were Amazon workers all over the country that don't think it's possible. There's a lot of times what you hear, oh, well, it's not possible. We're talking Amazon. We're talking Walmart. We're talking, and you know, the big, big employers. Everything's impossible until it's done. What type of effect this could have is many of the workers in different fulfillment centers and food processing plants and all over this country, and especially essential workers, may realize, oh, it is possible. And maybe I should reconsider it, because there's a lot of people that are saying it can't be done. Even getting to an election is a big deal at a facility this large, with high turnover, with thousands and thousands of workers. What I hope this could have as an effect is for workers to realize that they can do it, can unionize, we can shift the balance of power. And I think that that starts here. Another piece, too, of Amazon that I personally believe that it's going to be very difficult to organize Amazon around the world if we don't organize Amazon in the U.S. Amazon is a huge employer here. When you look at global unionism as well, having a non-union workforce of Amazon continue in the United States is a big thorn in the side of any other Amazon union that attempts to organize. So we need to tackle it. Future of work, e-commerce, and everything, the decline in brick-and-mortar retail, and all that Amazon has provided to this country with its business, we need to organize. The hope would be that workers have hope, that anything is possible. Thinking about how do we get to the radical imagination, because if we don't have some type of imagination, we've given up before we try.
The struggle does continue, but with enormous promise. And the energy that people like yourself put into unionizing and bringing some economic along with social justice to we the workers is most promising. Here's to a successful union drive and a union election at the Bessemer plant in Alabama. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great talking to you.
We've been speaking with the Director of Retail Organizing of the RWDSU, Adam Obenauer. Stay strong, stay well, educate, agitate, and organize to empower we the people.